You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, right here on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll get to a news brief coming up momentarily. But you know what? I got to just bring something up here. So there's a lot of things now missing in the studio. There's like a bunch of jerseys that used to hang here, a bunch of jerseys that used to hang there. I think they were Maggie and Perloff's. So can I just ask a question?
Sure.
Does that mean everything else that is here is up for the taking? Or do you think that just the jerseys going down, that's the first part of the cleanup? Like, on Friday, if everything's not taken for, and there's still some things in the studio, do you think I could take some? Like, there's a Jim Kelly football there. I'm assuming that Jim Kelly, the football that Maggie got from Sully, she's going to eventually take that.
I would assume, yes.
But there's one thing here that I have my eyes on that I would like to take.
Same here.
Is it the Fred Jackson jersey?
Absolutely not. What do you think yours is?
I know what mine is. It is the Club World Cup soccer ball that is sitting there.
Oh, okay.
I think there's two people here that want it.
What, you and Samter?
I believe that's the case.
Fight to the death.
Yeah,
Let's see what happens.
That'll be fun.
For the record, that ball was sent to me. I put it on the set as part of the decoration, but, you know, whatever.
We could petition it.
Eh.
You know, we could petition it.
All right, fight to the death. Hey, Psych Mamter, get a AI image together of me and Stu going to the death battle.
I think Stu would beat you. I do. I think Stu would beat you.
I couldn't beat a lot of people, and I love Stu to death. Stu is such a teddy bear. He wouldn't be able to, like, bring up that anger to actually be in a fight. And I also have to kind of teach him how to throw a punch.
You weren't with me in Baltimore when Stu knocked some dude out on the side of the street this past weekend. I would like to take, the one thing I would like to take is this puck. Edmonton Oilers, Vegas Golden Knights. I kind of feel like Perloff could be forgetful. And I know this is his puck because I was with Perloff when he got this puck. I was at this game with Sully and Perloff, and they threw the puck up to Perloff. Perloff got it. I feel like Perloff, who's a Fugazi hockey guy, he's not going to remember to take the puck. Do you think I could five-finger discount this puck, you guys think?
100%.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Let me put it in my back pocket then.
I'm surprised you don't want the most valuable, important item in the entire studio.
But you know I'm leaving the studio after Friday, right? What would that be? This banged-up TV behind me?
Yes. The banged-up TV is absolutely...
Oh!
This is the most important thing.
Yes, I will be taking that poster. I will definitely be taking that poster.
What about another CERN poster that has somehow left the studio for some reason?
Oh, yeah. They tore down the Hickey Hex poster. Right? Is that the poster you're talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the one I'm talking about.
It's in the newsroom.
I don't know why they took that down. Yeah.
Huh? I don't have to. Can you? Did Tiki take that down?
I doubt that. I don't think he would take that down.
Well, he was hosting today was for hosting, Bill Ryder, yeah. So it's possible that he ripped it down as part of his.
There's also a random tuna can over there. I don't know why there's a random tuna can.
Now, it's also possible Maggie and Perloff, in their process of taking down all of their jerseys, may have pulled that down while trying to get to their Fred Taylor jersey.
Fred Jackson.
That Maggie
hung up. Yeah.
Fred Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Right, I'm going to leave the puck here. But I'm going to hope that they don't take the puck.
Take the puck. He has no idea. Perloff doesn't even know where he is half the time.
But I'm an honest guy here. Like, I'm not just going to steal something. I'm not going to be a scumbag here.
For the record.
Yeah.
If Perloff doesn't take it, whoever gets to it first is taking that puck. And if I'm the first one who gets to it, then I'm taking it.
Okay, that's fine. If that's your big win that you want to get, take the puck. Go ahead. Be my guest. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Jacinta's going to leave with two broken arms at the end of his time here at the Infinity Sports Network. Let's go to Mike in Abilene, Texas. Mike, go ahead.
Best on the airways, brother. Hey, man, just checking in. We're about to kick off the CFP. I know I filled out my bracket. I was just kind of curious, you know, who your picks were on the bracket. I know you've been talking about it throughout the week. I just wanted to put you on the spot, kind of get your rundown
of
the CFP and who you got taking it, brother.
So right now I take Oregon to beat James Madison. Hot take. I'm going to lean Alabama over Oklahoma. Ole Miss over Tulane, I know another hot take, and I'm going to go A&M over Miami. So that would lead us to A&M, Ohio State, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, Indiana, and Oregon, Texas Tech. I'm going to say Oregon beats Texas Tech. I'm then going to say Indiana beats Alabama, and then I'm going to say that Georgia beats Ole Miss, Ohio State beats Miami, Georgia beats Ohio State, and then Oregon, Indiana. I'm going to go with Oregon, and that will lead us to a Oregon-Georgia national championship where the dogs, sick 'em, they take the national championship. That would be my Wednesday official, unofficial predictions on the Zach Gelb Show, subject to change by Friday.
There you go. I like it. Alabama, Oklahoma is a tough one. It's hard to beat someone three times in a calendar year. So, you know, the odds are stacked against Oklahoma. I think their defense and the home field advantage does weigh heavily. It is college football. That's the beauty of it. I think you're right on Oregon, man. I think Texas Tech's good, but I think the Big 12 is weaker than the Big 10 is, and I think, therefore, by default, Texas Tech has had a weaker schedule and is just not, you know, hasn't run into a team like Oregon yet, and I think Oregon has played Indiana and did pretty well, so I think they're just a little bit better prepared, and I think if we look at the rosters, yeah, Oregon's got, you know, more potential, and not by leaps and bounds. Texas got a good roster, but, yeah, I have us making it, obviously, all the way, but I do think Georgia will be, not that the first game won't be a test, but I think time to recoup. I think if we can make it past Georgia, I think even if it's a rematch with Indiana, I think the winner of our game will be the national championship champion this year. So just wanted to check in with you, man. Appreciate it, and like the picks, brother.
You got it. Thanks so much, Mike in Abilene, Texas. Let's update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We have a news brief right now.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start it off with Mike McDaniel. Why are you benching Tua turn the ball over Tagovailoa?
We have to have a certain standard at each position. All positions are the same. There's no one entitled to preferential treatment. And when there's a better option, we have to, you know, it's my job to attack that. So there's been a lot of things at play. I wouldn't pinpoint exactly this, that, or the other. I just know that at this stage of the season, my expectation was that we'd have a better performance. And, you know, you look inward and you look at what you can control and how you can affect it. You really have a standard. And when that standard's not being met, you know, something's got to give. We're looking for clarity on that. because it's, you know, not where I want it to be.
And then let's also hear more from Mike McDaniel. Does the owner, Stephen Ross, agree with your decision with all the money you're paying him?
Bottom line is, like everybody else, he wants to win football games, is disappointed when we don't. But, you know, I think that the biggest thing is that my job, as he's hired me to do it, is to do the best thing for the football team. So a lot of times that's doing the hard thing, but regardless, it's always with that same best interest in mind, which is what gives us the best chance to win.
Let's go to Jim Harbaugh. He was on the Dan Patrick Show, and he was talking about the entire Sherrone Moore situation.
You said you were still processing the Sherrone Moore situation. What are you processing?
Yeah, it's really still, and still don't have my head wrapped around it. It's a tragedy, and yeah, just praying for all concerned. I love my alma mater, love Michigan, but I love the Chargers too. And I'd be doing a disservice if I wasn't putting all my focus on this game. This is the most important game for us.
When's the last time you talked to Sherrone Moore?
Early December, but I have texted him.
Nothing since he was arrested?
Just text.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
How are his spirits?
I think it's a tragedy. It's the worst days of his life. And, keep it together and take care of your family. That's the message. And getting spiritual guidance, you know, is really critical.
Are you helping Michigan at all find their head coach?
No, I'm not. All focus is on the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if Michigan was using Jim Harbaugh, even though he won a national championship there. But with everything that happened in the aftermath of him leaving, I'd be very surprised if A, Jim Harbaugh wanted to help Michigan, or Michigan wanted Jim Harbaugh to help them pick out their next head football coach. So I don't think Harbaugh wanted to share what he said to Sherrone Moore, I guess, in that conversation, which I do kind of guess. The New York Jets have fired their defensive coordinator, Steve Wilks. Here's Aaron Glenn on why he did so.
I just thought that, you know, from last week going to this week, that the improvement wasn't there. And I thought it was time to make a change.
That's it? All he had to say was, hey, when I turned on the tape sucked. That's the bottom line. That defense has been abysmal. Let's go on the Let's Go podcast. Tom Brady has advice for Patrick Mahomes after tearing his ACL.
The only thing you could do is focus on what's ahead of you and not look back and just say, okay, this is part of what my career is going to be, and a lot of people have gone through it, and a lot of people have overcome it. You've just got to put as much diligence into the rehab process, and I always feel like the faster you rehab, the faster you can get back to practicing the sport that, you know, you love. I think sometimes people will pace themselves. Instead of training mode, they're in rehab mode. I think you got to get through rehab mode as fast as possible, and then you get back to training mode. But that requires an all-out commitment. And it's the same commitment that the great professional athletes make to be great at their profession. When you go through a rehab process, you need that same level of focus and determination.
And let's go to Kenny Dillingham and talks about him potentially going to Michigan.
I think my job is to try to do whatever I can for the people that are with me, right? The people that are in the foxhole, the coaches that are in the foxhole with me, is I got to do whatever I can to fight for those people, for my family, for everything. From that perspective, and and I love it here. I've said that since day one. That's absolutely never changing. Absolutely never changing. That piece is never changing.
I still feel like my antenna's telling me he's leaving. Stu, is Kenny Dillingham going to be the next head football coach at Michigan?
I think so, yes.
Samter?
Begrudgingly, I think it's the smart move for him. Of all the jobs that were open, it makes the most sense for him. It's his type of program.
Outside of LSU, it's the best job that's been opened up this cycle.
Yeah, but I even think that I think it's a better fit for him than LSU, to be honest with you. Just knowing Kenny Dillingham and his personality. And also, I mean, you're losing your star running back. You're losing your star quarterback. You're losing your star receiver. They have a decent recruiting class, and there's some good quarterbacks in the portal that you can kind of revamp. But, like, the cupboard is the cupboard is bare. Now's the time to move, and Michigan's the right job.
Let's listen in. Arizona Sports, Bickley Marotta? Is that
Marotta.
How you say it?
Marotta. Yes.
Bickley and Marotta.
Yeah, Vince Marotta I used to work with, and Dan Bickley. Bickley actually wasn't hosting this day. He must have been off. I'm not sure who was filling in for him, but Bickley and Murata.
Okay, and Arizona Sports, they had an update on Kenny Dillingham's status with ASU and all this Michigan talks. This is Arizona State reporter Chris Cartman.
I think we're probably around a six, trending towards seven. Didn't mean to do that intentionally for the Gen Z people out there. Yeah, this could ratchet up to an eight or a nine over the next couple of days. My understanding is the conversations are ongoing between Kenny Dillingham's agent and ASU regarding the contract amendments that are being discussed. Michigan, my understanding is, still interested in Kenny Dillingham. Can't say whether there's been any dialogue directly between Dillingham and Michigan at this point, but I wouldn't be surprised if that ultimately ended up happening if they can't come to an agreement on a new amended contract here within the next several days or something. So it's definitely something that everyone's going to have to still pay attention to.
And then let's hear from Mike Brown. This is for Pat Boyle on the value of winning the NBA Cup.
This is a single elimination tournament when you get to a certain point. So every game counts. There's pressure on every game if you expect to be who you think you are. And so that pressure is manufactured without you as a coach having to try to do it all the time. And when you're able to have success doing it, it breeds confidence in everybody within the organization. There's a lot of positives about it, but the most positive is being able to hang a banner up in MSG, the most iconic arena in the league.
And then the team comes out today and they announce that they're not hanging a banner. Mitch Johnson, coach of the Spurs, what they took from their NBA Cup experience.
The experience, second game all together, playing really competitive games against really, really good teams, seasoned, experienced teams that have been in similar situations. I'm not sure about all the cup experience of all the teams, but, you know, be able to feel those games, work those games, be in the moment in those games, I think is an invaluable experience.
All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network. This is Ack's last shift with us. So we're going to take a break here. We're going to talk to Ack when he comes on back after these short messages. And the big fella, yours truly, may or may not have a few people surprised at Ack. So I know Ack is still going to obviously do JR's show tonight, but this will be his last update on our show, as this is his last day with the company. So Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Update time coming up. I had a
segment
brain fart
early.
There. I said update time. I was about to toss to an update because I'm talking about Ack. Whenever I talk about Ack, my brain just goes update time. You know, let's go to Rich Ackerman. But when we come on back, we will get you closer to an update with the Ack man, Rich Ackerman. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Obviously, there's a ton of changes going on here with the company. We're out at the end of the week. There's going to be a new network launching on December 29th with a new company. So I think if you're just finding that out now, where have you been? It's been speculated and been talked about for 2 months. And then obviously, one by one, the shows keep on coming forward and giving, obviously, that information out there. With that being said, you know, hey, when Bart Winkler announces that he's leaving, or, you know, Bill Ryder or Zach Gelb, like, that gets a lot of coverage. There's a lot of people here behind the scenes on the air that, unfortunately, right, we're all losing our jobs, and this is all kind of coming to an end. And I've known Rich Ackerman for many, many years. When I was never little, but when I was little, I knew Ack. And this is going to be Ack's last. I know you have one more shift, but you're going to be doing that from home, right?
Yes, correct.
So this is like your last full day being in the building and all that stuff. So yeah. When did you join the company, by the way?
August 5th, 1997. Funny story. Obviously, I always wanted to work at WFAN, as most people do. But I have known Eric Spitz since I was in college. And periodically, when I was working in Washington, and especially when I was working in Chicago, I really wanted to come back to New York. And so I had sent him tapes, and he always had nitpicking criticisms to it and drove me crazy. But okay, you know, if they don't want you, they don't want you, whatever. And one day at a Ranger game was Mark Chernoff with Eric, and they were talking, and they asked Kenny if they knew anybody who wanted to anchor. course, I came up. And so I sent Mark a tape, and he said, it's good, but which I got, it was better. I was like, oh, I fared better with Mark than I did Eric. But he said, we don't have anything for you.
You know, it's good, but we have no openings.
Yeah, and he said, if you lived in New York, we'd use you, but, you know, we don't have anything to move to New York. And I heard that a couple of times, and when I came in for Kenny's wedding in the summer of 96, I actually met with Mark, and he reiterated the same thing. And at the time where I was working in Chicago, they were about to subcontract the sports department, which I didn't really like, and I didn't really love living in Chicago. No disrespect to anybody who is there or is from there. But, you know, there were a lot of things going on. And I really wanted to move back here. And I said to myself, I'm never going to get there if I'm not there.
Yeah.
So I just said, I used that occasion when they were going to farm out the sports somewhere else. I said, I'm moving home. And Cherno's reaction was, oh, I'm like, all right, whatever. And fortunately for me, I was close with Drew Hayes, who was then the, I guess you would call him the operations manager, program director at ESPN Radio. And so I moved home and I worked there. And it was then that Mark heard me, because at the time they carried ESPN Radio. And that ultimately led to part-time work at FAN. And several months later, to my good fortune, an on-air gig. So August 5th, 1997 was the first day, shortly before your birthday.
Yeah.
Your third birthday.
That's kind of crazy. That and acts like wild with the birthdays. No one wishes me happy birthday first, you know, besides Ack. Like, it is Ack always, like, at August 8th, right as it goes from 11:59 to midnight, I get a Facebook message from Rich Ackerman.
You're not first in New York, you're last.
So when the network launched, were you a part of the original lineup?
Yeah. I was hired. I may have been the last hire. I don't know. I know me and Samter were among the last, and Michael Besseglia. And I was finally hired. I was actually angry because Mark and Eric had asked me, I guess like October, if I was interested. And I'm like, yeah, I'm interested. And at the time I was working at FAN, and I said, look, if, you know, there's some shifts here and shifts there, you know, that's fine too. I'm kind of open. I really didn't plan anything. And Eric says to me, you know, apply online. I'm like, what do you mean apply online?
Yeah,
I'm
in the building.
I'm like, I'm here. What? And obviously it was, you know, it's a human resources thing. You got to do it. He's sure. Like, just do me a favor and do it. So I said, okay, I did it. And I didn't hear anything from him for about 6 weeks. And it was after my 5 o'clock update on December 7th. It was a Friday. And he calls me into the, he says,
I have to interrupt you.
Okay.
We have someone on the line that wants to say hello to you.
Oh, no.
On your final day.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm not going to tell you who it is.
I have a feeling I know.
I have two surprises here.
Okay.
So caller, go ahead. Welcome to the Zach Gelb Show on Rich Ackerman's final day.
I'll tell you what, Rich. Boy, they're making a big deal about you, bud.
I don't know why.
How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are things in Berkeley, my friend?
They're berserkly as ever.
Obviously, for the listeners that don't know, this is the general manager at Cal, former NFL head coach, Ron Rivera, calling in on Rich Ackerman's final day.
Yeah, well, it's good to be on with you, Rich. It really is. Reminds me of the good old days in Chicago when we were trying to talk sports back then.
Absolutely. Weekends, I'd stop at Barbarino's Subs in between updates, and you'd walk in, I'm like, Ronnie, Barbarino's today?
Yeah, I know. The worst part was every now and then you tell me you had one for me, but then you ate it.
Now, here's the thing, Coach. I have to ask you a question. You invited Ack once over to Thanksgiving dinner. Is that a true story?
Yeah, it's a true story. I mean, you know, the great guy, good person, you know, and we were sitting there talking about Thanksgiving, and I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, oh, you know, I'll just go home. I said, dude, no, not by yourself. Come on, this is holidays. Come on. So I invited him over. He came over. Everything was great. We had a good time. Then he fell asleep on the couch, you know, and I was trying to get him out the door, you know, but he was getting comfortable.
The thing that wouldn't leave. So, but no, they were great times, and the two things I remember most, actually many things, but the two things that come immediately off the top of my mind, I would get down in front of you in a 3-point stance, and you'd look at me and you'd
go, "Oh my God!"
You'd say, "I could kill you." So you saved my life.
It was so funny. He would get into a 3-point stance, and you sit there and you think to yourself, could a guy get lower to the ground than that or not? Oh my God.
What was a young Rich Ackerman like? Because, Coach, here behind the scenes, now act right. He's the Grizzly veteran. Everyone walks over to him to pay his respects. But when he was a young pup, what was he like? What do you remember?
Oh, he was anxious. I mean, he wanted to do so many things. He had so many ideas. And I tell you, though, he was great because of his energy. And I think that's one of the things that people got to understand. This dude had a lot of energy. And when he talked sports and he hit on something that he really loved, he got so excited and you got caught up with his enthusiasm. I think that's why he was so good at what he did.
Well, thank you. That is way too kind of you. The other thing that stands out, my friend, is the day, and you also were a big factor in this in saving me and helping me out. The day Doug Buffon, God rest his soul, what a sweetheart of a guy, tried to teach me how not to fumble, much to my chagrin. And I tried to say, you know, Dougie, I'm okay. I had a glass bottle of Snapple iced tea. And so Doug says to me, I'm going to teach you how not to fumble. And I'm like, well, using what? He goes, the bottle. And I said, Doug, Dougie didn't know his own strength. And, you know, back then, you know, I said, there's going to be shards of glass all over the floor. I'm going to have nothing to drink all day. And Doug wouldn't take no for an answer. He just kind of like attacked me as if I was an opposing quarterback in the pocket. And he wraps me up, and I am holding on to this thing for dear life. And finally, you stepped in and said, forward progress stopped.
You know, that's the only thing Doug listened to was anything that has something to do with football commands, he got it.
Well, Coach, I know you got to run, so we really do appreciate you calling on in. Just real quickly, what is Tosh LaPoy going to bring to the program, getting back one of your own?
Well, I think that's kind of exactly it. We are bringing back one of our own. You know, he is a top-notch recruiter, and that's one of the things that, you know, we've struggled here a little bit. It has been with the recruiting. Mostly because of him. You know, he's come down into this area and has done a tremendous job. And, you know, now that he's one of us, we believe we'll be able to keep most of those guys now that he always used to just kind of poach from us. So I'm really excited about who he is, excited about what the potential is going to be for this program going forward because, you know, at the end of the day, it's about, you know, winning. And that's what we need to do is win a few more football games.
Ronnie, thanks so much. I can't appreciate it. I know you had to take some time out of the day. I know these knuckleheads bothered you, but you always have meant a lot to me, and I appreciate it. My love to Stephanie this holiday season and the kids, and go Bears.
Go Bears, Rich. Appreciate you, bud.
Absolutely. Same here.
Thanks, Coach. There he is. Ron Rivera calling you final day.
And these are like, so you just said, come on in. We'll have some laughs. I didn't know this was going to happen there.
Well, I got guest number two.
I think I know this one, too.
Who do you think it is?
Well, you know, the funny thing is, at first, when Ron started talking, I'm like, he sounded like Troy Aikman. Oh. You know what I'm saying? Didn't he? And I'm like saying, I don't know Troy.
I'm going to be out for the first 2 seconds. I didn't think you knew who it was.
It took me a second, but I'm saying he sounds like Troy Aikman. And then I figured
Because I said to Samter, I go, he'll know who these two people are. So. But I go, you know, you put people on the spot, you never know what happens. Mm-hmm. So let's get to guest number two that wants to say goodbye to Rich Ackerman, and obviously this is Rich Ackerman's final day right here on the network. Guest number two, go ahead.
I feel like this is what's my line, and I have to sign in. To identify myself.
Yes, it's, you should. And of course, we are both of a certain age where you get that. So this was a much easier voice. I talk to him almost every day.
And that is the great Bob Huesler, who obviously also used to do updates on WFAN and 4-Hour Network. And also during the pandemic, that's when we got to work with Bob a lot, who is calling us on the last day of Rich Ackerman right here on the Infinity Sports Network, which used to be CBS Sports Radio.
No wonder. Yeah, Zach, I told you earlier, Zach, I wish it was under different circumstances. But yes, it all started with the pandemic, and we developed quite the kinship during those years, didn't we?
Yeah,
unmemorable as some of those moments were. Huh?
I'd call him at 2 o'clock, 2:30 every day to tell him what I was reporting on, and you know, I mean, you didn't really have anybody. You know, there was obviously social contact at that point was very minimal. So it was like it was an escape hatch for both of us.
Was, and it's a routine that I'm happy to say still continues, even though I am no longer. On the air, I am semi-retired. Ack and I still talk every day about the topics of the day. Never a lack of topics.
More like I still bother him.
Yeah, I was going to say, you never say, Bob, like, oh, man, can we put on Do Not Disturb and tell him to lose the number?
No. There are some people who, absolutely deserve the Do Not Disturb sign, but Ack is not.
So when you look at all these update anchors, obviously, they've been here for years. Yourself, Minko, Ack, the list goes on and on and on of people that have been doing Andrew Bogish, obviously, who's been on this network forever. What is it to you, Bob, that when you look back at Ack, that are just some of your favorite memories? I'm going to talk about on-air stuff, just all the behind-the-scenes nonsense. Because Ack, what people don't know, he's kind of like the practical joker here. I think Ack has always scared people walking through the hallways because he'll pop out of a corner and then yell boo at them or something.
He is. He's the merry prankster of the fan. Again, you would not know it listening to him on the air because he's so professional. But you get him away from that professional atmosphere and the studio. Yeah, he can definitely throw people a curve now and then. I'll give you a story about that, and then I'll tell you a personal story, which may bring back some good memories for Ack. It's quite dated. Zach, I don't even know if you know about the second story I'll tell. The first story kills two birds with one stone, and maybe it's already come up because it's in Summer's book. So that's how we kill two birds with one stone. I can promote Steve's book by saying this little anecdote is in Steve's book about Ack, who he loves. But Ack had this routine every time he saw Steve Summers coming from a distance. He would ambush him. And understand, if you're listening, this was all done in fun, and nobody laughed louder at it than Steve Summers. But Ack, when he saw Summers coming, would ambush him by giving him the double set of the old middle finger. Again, all in fun. And then he would do cartoon style. He would decapitate, air quotes, Summers, take his head by the hair, lift it up, make it believe, and then put on a pike, air quotes, and then run around the newsroom with Summers' figurative head on the pike. So this went on every time he saw Steve Summers. So in the book, Steve tells the story about how he, Ack, saw Summers coming down the hallway from the restrooms. So he hid. He's ready to ambush him again. The door opens that leads back into the newsroom where Ack anticipated Steve Summers coming through. Door opens. Ack jumps out, gives him the double set of fingers, and it's not Steve Summers. It's Mark.
Oh my God!
Program director, and Shern office. Ack, what are you doing? What is going on? What is going on? And Ack, of course, is in panic mode, and he explains it. Okay, all right, I guess I get it. And Summers, of course, is right behind him now, cracking up.
It's amazing. and you got the Summers. Boss there, sir.
So. That is an example of the prankster Ack, and I'll tell you my little personal story, which I think is endearing to Ack. I believe I've told him before, but Zach, do you know about Project Ack? Do you know about that?
No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, okay. So this is two parts then. First of all, you have to know about Project Ack.
Mm-hmm.
And I went online to get the background to this because I wanted to refresh my own memory. It was a long time ago. It was 2010. Regis Philbin and Ack were good buddies.
Oh, is this the dating story?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I know this
story. So in 2010, they decided, Regis Philbin decided to do this big, big production. It was called Project Ack.
Mm-hmm.
Which the goal was to try and get him a date. And it was fashioned after the popular TV show, which still exists, The Bachelor. So anyway, I won't get into the details of Project Ack. It's online.
Yeah.
If you want to look it up. But here's what happens. In those years, I sometimes did a quick turnaround, Saturday night to Sunday morning, my update shift. And when I did that, when I had to get back to the fan very early, I would go to Bloomfield, New Jersey, where my parents lived. Now, my mom's in her mid-80s at this point, and she watched Regis Philbin religiously. So I would stay at my mom's house, get up early, we'd have breakfast, have a nice conversation, great breakfast, and we'd make small talk. Now, she never asked me about, she listened to the station, but she never asked me about Imus. She never asked me about Mike Francesa, never asked me about Chris Russo. But out of nowhere, she says to me, I have to ask you, do you know Richard Ackerman? And I said, do I know Richard? Do I know Ack?
Run.
And she says, oh, I love him. I'm watching the Project Ack.
Oh, my God.
And I wondered, I thought maybe he might know him. I said, Bob, take my word. I know Ack.
Nothing to write home about.
you think he'll get a good date out of this? Think this will work out? It's a sure thing, Mom. It's a sure thing, no doubt. But I was never more proud to be able to say, I know Richard Ackerman. It made my mom's day.
All righty. Well, Bob, great story. We appreciate it. I got to get to one other person that we're going to surprise Ack with, but we appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet.
There he is.
I'll talk to you later, Bobby.
The great Bob Huesler. Final guy, I promise. I know that you get very emotional with these surprises, and you're on the edge of your seat. Final person, let's get to him right now, wishing Rich Ackerman goodbye, obviously, on the sports radio world. Go ahead.
Ack, it's your third grade teacher, Mrs. McGillicuddy. You still haven't handed in your math homework. I need your math homework. I need it now.
He is the captain of the Peter Luger's dinner. he is the guy that is most often asked, when's he coming?
The great Iron Eagle, obviously.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So this dinner that goes on, I see photos of it each and every year. Like, how do you get invited to the dinner, Iron, if I'm just being honest?
You want an invite? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. There's a few people around here that I know that they get very sensitive when they don't get invited to this dinner and they see photos of it each and every year.
Yeah, it's a very exclusive dinner, and I can't even tell you how you qualify. It's almost like a certain levels for an airline. You're trying to get to medallion status. You don't even know how to get there, but you just know you want it. And I think that's really what happens every year with the Ack dinner. The interesting part, and I don't know how much of a continuation you want on the Bob Huesler story, but Project Ack, there was a payoff at a family event of mine where the
right.
lovely lady that was, quote unquote, the winner of Project Ack attended a family event of mine. And I believe, because of some circumstances surrounding that event, it may have ended the relationship. There might have been some tardiness involved. Is that fair?
That is correct. That was the beginning of the end.
But she was late to this event?
She was late in picking me up. I was furious.
And that's what did it for you? That's what you said? Oh, that's it? That was the deal breaker?
Well, I mean, it was sort of like, you know when they say this was the big block in a game or something like that? Like, that was the turning point that got the ball rolling.
Oh, my God. So you're to blame, Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, unfortunately, I played a role in this, and I feel terrible about it. I may have affected lives based on this circumstance. Here's the reality. Ack and I go way, way back, way, way back. But we are connected forever, no matter what, based on our text chain that includes messages regarding the Battle of the Network Stars and Gabe Kaplan. So if there's anyone out there that ever thinks, like, man, I wonder what these broadcasters text to one another on a daily basis, this is the genesis of it. It's either that or some form of a memory regarding Too Close for Comfort and Lydia Cornell, one of the daughters of Henry Rush. That's it.
I nearly did that's it today for Gil Gerard, Buck Rogers passing away.
I know.
I had to restrain myself from that one.
R.I.P. I know. And unfortunately, there have been too many of those late as well.
Well, can we end on like a happy note here? Because I have to go to a break in 45 seconds. I don't want to end on death, honestly.
I
will say this, the first connection we had professionally was when I did updates from the ACC Big East tournament in Greensboro in 1991, and it was a big thing for me. I did it all night long, but the last one, Georgetown calls timeout with 3 seconds left, and I'm sitting in front of the band, and John Clossy throws to me, and I never heard it because the saxophone started playing in my ear.
I have no recollection of that whatsoever.
I have to apologize to Yain, by the way.
Why?
Do you have any idea what I'm apologizing to you for?
No, so none whatsoever.
When I texted you the other day to do the Drake May, I may have not have understood the trend. You're supposed to say Drake pause, Drake May, pause May. And Ian then goes right in the broadcast and goes, Drake, May, May. And I had so many people saying, oh, Ian Eagle doesn't know the trend. And I felt so bad that I was the one that was texting you to do that.
Yep. You ruined my career.
I know. How are they ever going to forgive you at CBS after
that? One text that can ruin your career.
Well, anyway, I
love you, Ack. Love you, bud.
Absolutely. Same here, buddy. Thanks so much.
There you go. The great Ian Eagle joining us on the show. So Ron Rivera, Bob Huesler, and Ian Eagle.
That's a quite a 3-4-5 of the lineup.
Was there someone that you thought we were getting that we didn't get?
Yeah, actually.
Okay. I'll tell you that off the air because I think you and I are on the same page and there was a reason why it couldn't have happened.
I know where he is now.
Okay. Yes. Let's get the latest update in. The final update for Rich Ackerman on the Zach Gelb Show with the great Rich Ackerman.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.